Genesis, and I want you to turn three books over to the book of Leviticus. And I know many of you didn't even know Leviticus was in the Bible, and for the longest time I didn't either. Leviticus is not a much quoted book, and I'm sad to say it's not much of a read book, but it's just as inspired as the Gospel of John. So, third book, Old Testament, third book in the Bible, Leviticus. Find your way there, chapter 19. I see, again, a lot of guests amongst us today. I see Matt. I see your parents are here. Mr. and Mrs. Ballher, good to see you guys. Y'all give a warm First Baptist welcome to the Ballher family. You bet. It's great to see you guys. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 23. Today, you're going to hear something different than you're used to. And I'm excited. I've been thinking about it all week long. And truthfully, this probably will not come as a surprise to you, but I have more to say than I have time in which to say it in. Now, before you get too scared, just want to let you know, I'm conscious of what the time is. I'm praying, God willing, we'll be able to cover it all. But it's very important that we understand at the end of this time together the opportunity and the potential before us. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33, the Bible reads, "When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt." That's key. For you were once aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I heard a story a few years back that I've never forgotten, would doubt if I ever will. It's a story about a pastor and his family. They were off on vacation. And in this vacation, it happened to be that they were going to be gone over a Sunday. And they were really excited about going to another church where they could just go worship and they didn't have to worry about anything else. They didn't have to worry about the sound system. They didn't have to worry about, you know, the ushers not ushering right or the timing of anything. He didn't even have to lead in silent prayer. I mean, he was just glad that he could be at a place where he can worship, no strings attached, and he could enjoy a service. Well, what he wanted and what he was excited about, the rest of the family really didn't share because they were thinking they were on vacation. But he finally convinced them Saturday night, "Let's go do this. Let's go. There's a church down the street I heard. Let's go visit there. And it'll be a good time. I promise you, we'll enjoy it." That was the setup. Sunday morning rolled around and the weather's dark, it's gloomy. They get in their car and they travel on the way to the church. And while they're in the car, a monsoon breaks out. I mean, the gates of heaven, they just open. Water's pouring. And they're thinking to themselves, "Dad, I told you it's not a good idea. Let's skip church today. This is not worth it. Dad, again, keeping up a good game. No, guys, we can do this. It's going to be all right. We'll park real close." When they get to the parking lot in the church, they realize there were no parking spaces. The best parking spaces had been taken. So they thought, "Well, that's not too bad. I'm sure there's secondary parking for guests." They looked around all around their campus, found none of that. They eventually had to park the farthest parking spot away in all of that site. And there they sat in their car contemplating, is it going to be worth it? Mind you, it is pouring. And they have no umbrellas. All they have is their Bibles, which would have to be used as a makeshift umbrella for the moment in between the farthest country mile point to those doors. And so they had this discussion back and forth. Mom saying, "You know what, honey, maybe it's not a real good idea we go to church today. Can't we? Well, let's just skip this." "No, no, no. This is just the enemy. He's trying to keep us back from something great. This is going to be a little sacrifice, but it's going to be worth it." And the kids are like, "Dad, please, I don't want to go. I don't want to get wet. This is awful. This is vacation, for crying out loud." He's like, "Suck it up. We're going to church." And so out the door they went. And here they went running through the parking lot. Now, this parking lot's just like any other parking lot. There are highs, there are lows, there are puddles. And so as they're running, Dad loses his shoe. He's got to go four steps back to get his shoe. His shoes and socks are soaked. Mom, all of that, what she did to her hair that morning, preparing all of her glory, it is now gone. There's a run in her hose from what she did in the parking lot. They finally get to the door, to the nearest door from where they parked, and they found out it's locked. For crying out loud, it can't be locked. And so they're like, you know, it's now, you know, where do I go? And so they travel around the building to the other side where they get to the next door. Finally, this door is open. And so now they're inside the premises and their hair is just matted to their face. Their clothes are just drenched. He could take his tie and wring it out. His socks are sopping wet. You can hear him as they walk down the hall. The problem was there was nobody to hear him. There was nobody there to offer him any assistance. There was nobody there to tell him where to go. These were guests. I didn't have a clue. So they're thinking, well, maybe there's some signs. Maybe there's some signs to tell us where to go. And they realize it's early, it's Sunday school. And so they're like, well, they're in their Sunday school classes right now. And so just by accident, they bumped into a sixth grader that happened to be playing hooky from his Sunday school class. And they asked him, could you tell us where to go? We're lost. We're first timers here. Could you tell us where to go? Well, you know, the sixth grade boy, he what does he know? And he's thinking to himself, I don't know. You know, I'm trying to skip what you're trying to get to. You sure? You know, he probably didn't have that conversation, but he's like, well, you know, let me take you here. So he takes them into the sanctuary, and there's a few people in the sanctuary. And so here comes this family, all drenched, sopping wet, you know, really, you know, make you feel sorry for them. And they said, could anybody help us in finding a Sunday school class? And so they finally get them to where the kids are supposed to be. And then they take mom and dad to their Sunday school class. Well, mom and dad's Sunday school class, all the chairs are already taken up. And so there's no two chairs together. So dad had to sit like in the front row in front of everybody. And mom had to sit in the back throughout the remainder of that time. After the Sunday school class was over, everybody just got up out of their seats and they went on to church. I guess maybe to get their seats to make sure no one else does. And they were thinking, I can't believe nobody stayed around and talked with us. Nobody shook our hands. Nobody made us feel welcome. It was like they were invisible. Well, they got into the sanctuary and everything they did as far as part of the worship service, it was all addressed to the home folks. It was talking about, you know, all that they were dealing with and going through. And before and after, nobody talked to them. Nobody shook their hands. They literally walked out of the building, going back to their car without anybody greeting them or saying hi. Well, the dad was dreading it because he knew when he got to the car, he knew he'd hear these words. I told you so. Dad, I told you so. I knew we shouldn't have done it. That was awful. That was horrible. And the dad could do nothing but agree. So the dad, feeling bad, says, I'm going to make up for it. Here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go to a restaurant. We're going to go to a nice restaurant. So they stopped a place in town. They said, where's the nicest restaurant in town? And they told them, you go here. So there they off to this restaurant. Get there. Monsoon starts again. Pouring the rain. But this place is different. There's something different about this place because instead of parking a country mile away, they drive right up to the front door because there's a guy signaling them to come on in. And now they're under an overhang and the gentleman says, what's your name, sir? And he says, my name is, this is my family. He says, we are so glad you're here. We've been waiting for you. Would you mind if I take your car and park it for you? And the guy was like, well, my goodness, you mean valet parking? It's only 12:30. Valet parking right now? He said, yes, sir, it's raining. We'd rather get wet than you. He said, well, sure. So he takes his car, goes around and parks it. They go inside. The hostess, he says, sir, what's your name? And he introduces himself and he says, we're so glad that you're here. Listen, I'll be right back. He comes in and gets some towels for them for how they've been wet through their parking lot experiences during the day at church. And he gives them towels where they can dry off a little bit. Mom goes to the bathroom. Dad takes the kids to the bathroom and they try to freshen up. They come back. And apparently word had generated amongst the staff. And so as they sat them to the table, now the waiter, he calls them by name without even having to ask. Somebody had cared enough to pass that information along. And throughout that day's service in that restaurant, they were called each one on a first name basis. They said, before you're in trouble today, you know you've had a tough day. What we could do is we're going to bring out some free appetizers for you guys to help you guys out. And they had some hats to put on the kids and little things for the kids to do. And they just made that eating experience the most enjoyable experience of that particular day. When it was all said and done, they got up from their table. They went to go pay. And they said, we sure hope you come back and join us when you're back in town the next time. The dad said, you can bank on it. We will be back. The car pulls up. The valet attendant gives him the keys, says his name. We're so grateful that you came. We hope to see you back soon. They got in the car and they're leaving, and the conversation starts up about the experience at church compared to the experience at the restaurant. And the young son in the back says, "Dad, I was thinking about today. When that pastor gave the invitation for people to join the church, I wasn't surprised that anybody didn't join. But I tell you what, if that restaurant would have given an invitation today, I'd have been the first to join." Now you think to yourself, as I do, how awful. How could a church be so insensitive? How could a church treat anybody, much less guests who they don't even know yet, who they should be rolling out the red carpet for? How in the world could they be so insensitive and so unloving and so selfish not to consider the stranger or guest amongst them? Got a question for you. What attitude did you wake up with this morning? Did you come to church thinking to yourself, "I wonder what I'm going to get from this today? Wonder how the preacher's going to bless me today." You think to yourself, I wonder what I'm going to get from giving of my time to God. What if God is going to give me? Is that your attitude today? Or do you wake up with the mentality, "I wonder today whom God's going to allow me to brush shoulders with that I might be able to make a difference in their lives. I wonder today if God's going to provide somebody at church for me to connect with that I might have a conversation with that maybe through that conversation I might be able to encourage them in a way no one else could or would. I wonder today how God's going to give me an opportunity to give to somebody else to make a difference, maybe in that person's day, week, maybe in their life." Anybody wake up with that mentality this morning? See, here's the problem. Most churches, by and large, very selfish. They're in it for themselves. What can you do for me? It's the "what have you done for me" mentality lately. It's you know what? All this is good and all this is great, but I want to be a part of a church that makes me feel special. Well, here's the deal. We're into making people feel special here at First Baptist Church. We ought to be making people feel special. But if you as a member think our number one goal is to make you feel special, you've missed it. Because the priority and focus of not just this church, but any church, ought to be the stranger and guest amongst us, first and foremost. And those who are members and those who have benefited already from past ministries and relationships, they are the first ones that ought to be picking up their ministries while laying down their rights, looking to invest in someone else for the sake of life change. What would it look like to be a kind of part of a church like that? What would it look like to be a part of a church where selflessness ruled the day? Where it wasn't comprised of a group of people that were all in it for what's in it for me, but they're in it for what can I give to somebody else? What if we tailor-made this environment? What if we fashioned this whole environment that we call First Baptist Church any given Sunday? What if we tailor-made this environment for the express purpose of the people who are not here yet? Well, what kind of church would that look like? And would you even want to be a part of it? These are just questions. And some of them today are going to sting as well as they should. What would it be like to be a part of a church who's willing to take all of their energies, all of their leadership, all of their money, all of their time and resources, put it all together, synergize all of it for the express purpose of the people who are not here yet? What would that church look like? So today I'd like us to dream together. I'd like us to dream together. I say every Sunday to our guests, "So grateful you're here." I say it Sunday after Sunday. Some of you, you probably mimic me at home and think, "Here's what the preacher's going to say again." I mean, you've heard it and you can repeat it. We're so grateful if you're a guest amongst us today. We hope today you are made to feel special. We hope today in some tangible way to show you how special you are so that hopefully through it you know that you are special to God. And I thought to myself earlier this week, do I set people up who are guests amongst us when I say something like that? Do I set them up to be disappointed because the people of First Baptist may not have a clue in practical, tangible ways in which to show we care, you are loved, and yes, you are special to God, but most importantly, to us, but most importantly, to God? Have I led in such a way to let people know what those tangible things are?
that question also stings. A gentleman came up to me one time before church. His loved one was here, someone he'd been building a bridge with for a long time, relationally. Hadn't been in church probably for 15 years. Finally came on this Sunday. He pulled me aside. He goes, preacher. He goes, hey, listen, my friend's here today. Been working on him for 15 years. Been praying for him. And today he's finally in church. Just want you to know that. Does anybody want an interpretation of what that guy was really saying to me? Hey, don't screw this up. Okay? I got a lot riding on this. See, I love my friend. And I've invested my life for the past 15 years in trying to build a bridge with my friend. And they're finally here. Don't blow it, man. Well, see, I would like to have a culture around the First Baptist Church, a mindset and a trust that is built that you never even have to come up and say that. That it doesn't matter what Sunday it is, if it's a special Sunday, if it's Easter, or if it's the Sunday before Memorial Day weekend. I'd like to build a culture. I'd like for us to have an environment that has the mentality, it doesn't matter what Sunday, you can trust us to be the family to your guest as you want us to be, as they need us to be. You can trust us for that. Are we there yet? No. How far are we away from that? Time will tell. But today I'd like to talk about a few things that we can change. The book of Leviticus says to love the stranger amongst us, to treat the guest as one of the families, and to love them as we love ourselves, to do them no harm. For a guest to park a country mile away from the building, is that doing him harm? You bet. For a guest to come into our facilities and no one to greet them and no one to share with them where they're supposed to go, to make them rely upon signs rather than people, is that doing them harm? You bet. For guests to come into any service, much less a small group like a Sunday school class, and for them not to be greeted, for them not to be shown love, is that doing them harm? You bet. For a church to assemble together before the service and to immediately get into church to find your place and sit there and wait until the service begins, are we showing that individual that we are a loving family? Are we showing that individual, are we showing that guest, are we showing that stranger that we are really in love with one another, that we really are relationally connected? Absolutely not. For them to ever leave our church and never to be greeted, never to be said hello to, and I'm not just talking about someone at the door giving a bulletin, smiling. I'm talking about a genuine conversation, a genuine handshake, a genuine introduction. Hi, my name is so-and-so. For them never to experience that upon our property, that is rude, it is unloving, it is unChristlike, and it is unacceptable. You say, we would never do such. We're not that church. See, there's a problem when you think more highly of yourself than what you should, and there's a problem when we all think more highly of what we belong to than what we should. In our first impressions class, I've had a great chance to get to know some of our guests. One of our guests said it this way. It was 3 weeks until somebody introduced themselves to me. You know what that told me? We're nowhere near where we think we are. And how rude is it? How rude is it to say, hey, we want you to bring your guest here. We want you to bring your friends here. We want you to build bridges so that you, in that relational building, you can bring them to this environment, and this environment is going to be tailor-made for your guests. And when they get here, it is nothing near reality. That would be rude. And you don't have to be spiritual to agree with me on that. Many of you, you have people in your home, and you understand when you invite guests to your home, the equation changes. It's not about you. Because if it were, you would be rude and selfish to the core. And you might be, but you would at least hide it for the moment. And you would put your priorities and your desires, you would put them to the back burner. You would put the priorities of your children to the back burner. Everything would take second chair to the priority of that nice experience. You've invited guests, and what they want, what they feel like, that is going to be the priority of this environment. You would invite somebody to your house and then disregard that they were there, because that would be rude. And yet, we invite people to church, and if our church doesn't have the mindset, collectively, if we don't have the tangible blueprint for what that looks like, given from the leadership, and great ideas from the laity, if we don't have all that working, then we too are being rude and inviting people to this place, not being prepared for them. Leviticus says, be careful how you treat the stranger amongst you. Because remember, you too were an alien in the land of Egypt. There was a time in your life that some things were foreign to you. There was a time in your life that the church house was foreign to you. And it was scary, it was a risk. And I know even in saying that, some of you just don't even get that. And you're not a bad person for not getting it. You just don't get it. You've grown up in the church. You know nothing but church on Sunday mornings. And so try to get you to think about what it feels like for a 34-year-old man to bring his family to church for the first time in his and their lives. And to try to get you or I to think, what would that feel like? What would my apprehensions be? What would my fears be? What would be overwhelming to me? It's just hard to even comprehend that. But we better start trying. And just because you have no context that you can have a reference point to, doesn't mean you and I are not obligated, if we want to be like Jesus and love them like we love ourselves. We can't hide behind any excuse, and we better do what we can, how we can, to learn it and learn it quickly. Because what's at stake is people, souls, and eternity. I was intrigued this past week. One of our members here, Jeff Kaufman, he and his wife, Christine, they have been a part of our First Impressions class. Jeff is our small group leader for our middle school boys on Wednesday nights. Jeff just has a great heart for Jesus. Had lunch with him this week. Really enjoyed my time with him. Jeff is the district manager, overseer of McDonald's here in our community. McDonald's, just need to know, there's been some changes taking place with McDonald's. When I think of McDonald's, I think of a burger. You ask Jeff about McDonald's, he's not going to tell you about a burger. He's going to be offering you now an experience. You say, an experience at McDonald's? Oh, yeah. And they have shut down business for 5 weeks. They have paid top dollar. They have taken great risk to make the experience better than what it ever was. You say, well, why do they have to change? And that's a good question, because they were already the number one selling restaurant in our town. They were already on top. So if it ain't broke, some people say, why fix it? I'd like you to hear a story. We interviewed Jeff and we asked him some certain questions. And we thought, you know what? We might be able to gain some wisdom from McDonald's for a higher purpose. Point your attention up here.
Hi, my name is Jeff Kaufman. I'm an area supervisor for McDonald's restaurants. I oversee operations in 5 local restaurants, including the Lebanon restaurant. I've worked for McDonald's for almost 19 years, and recently we've done some extensive remodeling on the Lebanon restaurant. The Lebanon restaurant has been number one for many years in a region of about 500 restaurants. Recently, we decided we wanted to take it to the next level with some time for some improvements to spruce the place up. So we went with an extensive remodel, both inside and out, both in front of the counter and behind the counter. We wanted to make the place more user-friendly, more appealing, more contemporary. In coming to the decision on whether to remodel, we had to ask ourselves, you know, we're number one. Why would we want to undertake this? Why would we want to close for 5 weeks, displace our employees, lose a lot of revenue? But if we wanted to continue to be number one, if we wanted to grow the business, we realized it was time to update, to stay relevant. Deciding to close our McDonald's restaurant for 5 weeks wasn't an easy decision. It was pretty scary. What were we going to do with our staff of 100-plus employees? while we were closed for 5 weeks. We have a salary staff of about 5. They were going to get a paycheck whether we were open or not. We were going to lose a lot of revenue, a lot of money coming through the drive-thru. We needed to pay for this remodel. It was going to cost a lot of money. Revenue going out the window is a scary thing. We were wondering if our customers, our loyal regular customers, they were going to have to go somewhere else for their breakfast or for their lunch. Would they establish new eating habits? Would they come back? All these things had to go into the decision-making process. When deciding to remodel and improve the restaurant, we looked very seriously at environment. McDonald's has become aware recently that it's not just about the food. We are a restaurant, but it's also the whole package. It's the experience. Customers come for all of it. They want to be in a place that they feel good about themselves, and they enjoy beginning to end the restaurant experience. The food is a major part of that, but it's also the environment. It's the music in the background. It's the cleanliness. It's the friendliness of the people. But it's also about the physical plant, the facility. Do they feel like they're in a warm, inviting place, a contemporary place, a place that meets their needs? We've had nothing but success since we reopened. Everyone in McDonald's Corporation, to the owner-operator of the restaurant, has been very pleased. Over the same period of last year, we've had double-digit sales increases, and it's far exceeding our projections of sales and customer counts. Mickey Mouse, Santa Claus, and Ronald McDonald are the most identifiable characters to children. But let's do everything we can, everything in our power, to make Jesus the most identifiable person to the children here in Lebanon.
I'm going to show you some pictures, and I want you to tell me who they are.
Okay.
Who's that?
McDonald.
Who is it?
McDonald.
What does he do?
He's helping people at the cash register.
He works at McDonald's. I love the pancakes and talking.
He be ready and other friends to McDonald's for a happy meal.
Who's that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. George, is it this?
No, that's a good guess though.
Question, if McDonald's is willing to temporarily suspend business, think outside the box, take a great risk, and accept a great challenge for the sake of their bottom line, which is a dollar, should we, if our bottom line is souls, should we not be willing to think, to dream, to risk, and to reach for whatever challenge comes our way for something far greater? You better believe it. If their bottom line is dollars and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get more of it, we say eternity is too long to be wrong. We say there's a heaven. We say there's a hell. Do we really believe that? Because if we believe it, pray tell me why anybody that knows Jesus would ever argue with reaching for a little bit more, going a little bit further, thinking outside the box, when what's on the line, the bottom line, is something that will last for eternity. Came back this last week and I walked through our building. And I said, Lord, kind of let me see things from a first-time guest eyes. Help me kind of see everything. And I just made notes. I made notes from things out on the tables out here and around the building that are outdated. Shows we don't care. And all of this stuff is not just on you, it's on me. Guys, I'm your pastor. And I walk past a certain hallway and there's just bookshelves there. And I think there's dust since Noah that's been on that shelf and it's collecting high. Kind of a catch-all. You know, who cares? Who cares? It's just family.
It's not considering the guest. It's not considering the stranger amongst us. Would you allow your house to look that way? Dust an inch high, knowing a guest was coming to your house, would that be acceptable? That would be no. And see, here's the problem. We're family and we just see everything all the time, and so we don't see it anymore. We got to start being sensitive and start seeing through different eyes. Not so much what's comfortable for us, not so much what we can deal with, but how's it going to come across to someone who is a first-time guest? How's it going to come across to someone we're building a bridge with? How's it going to come across to someone that we're saying you can trust us with your friendships to bring your friends here to a relevant, engaging environment where truth is relevant and the memory of church is made exciting? We got to start thinking differently. So, in closing, I'd like us to dream a little bit. Dream a little bit this morning. And I'd like us to have a dream church. Here's kind of like dream church to me. Dream church starts in the parking lot. I came back and I've looked at our signs out here. We have today, there'll probably be around 550 of you worshiping here. 550 people worship here today on the premises, 311 North Madison Avenue. You know how many guest parking spots we have? Anybody want to take a shot at it? We have 4. You know what that tells anybody and everybody? We ain't expecting much. If you happen to be the lucky 4 to get here, well, you know, we got something for you. But if you happen to be, you know, somewhere outside of that, welcome to the country mile. Because we're just kind of selfish, and so we're going to park the best parking spots. We're going to park what's close to us. Dream Church would be, and this is changing, by the way, you're going to see this in a couple of weeks. I told Scott, those 4 signs out there on that guest parking lot, I want the whole row. It's all going to be guest parking. Because when we say to our members, when we say to our family members, hey, we want you to invite guests, we want to actually show that we're prepared for our guests, which means it starts in the parking lot. Not only is it going to be guest parking over there along this road where the children are let out, you're inviting your friends, a lot of your young families, they're inviting their friends, so they're bringing their children. We're going to give them the best parking spaces, and that's going to be on that side. So wait a second, I've been a part of this church for a long time, why don't I get the best parking spots? Now, we laugh at that. I'm telling you, there are some people who think that way. There are some people that are sitting in this room, they think that way. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm certainly not trying to be arrogant. I'm just stating the obvious. That's not right. That's not the attitude of Jesus. I talked to our first impressions class today. They said, you know, we're talking about, like, what does church membership mean? And here's what I told them. I said, church membership means this. It's a place where you lose your rights. You're like, sign me up, that's me. That's a place where you lose your rights and you pick up your ministry. That means you pick up the responsibility of loving people before yourself. That's what church membership means. They need to hear that. Some of our established church members, you also need to hear it. And I love you enough to tell you it. Guest parking. Plenty of it. Here's something else I'd like to see. Rather than just waiting to, you know, you to get into our premises here and you getting inside here and there's somebody to shake your hand, I'd like somebody to be at every entrance into the parking lot of the First Baptist Church. And I'd like there to be somebody out there with a big smile. I'm talking about a contagious, infectious smile. I mean, somebody that's just pumped up and know that, man, when you get on this premises, you have the potential to experience life change and they're excited about who it's going to be that day. I'm talking somebody with passion. When they see you coming in, they're waving, they're high-fiving, they're pointing, they're good gaming, whatever they got to do. But when you come upon the parking lot or the premise of First Baptist Church, that you realize you are coming to an experience. That'd be interesting. I went to a church one time in Charleston, never forgotten it. Before I ever heard the music, before I ever heard the songs or the sermon, I already made up my mind about the church. I want to join. They had a guy out there. He was like a surfer looking dude. This was, you know, in Mount Pleasant. Small road, large growing church. This guy taught me why, or showed me why. I had to bring out the city police to direct traffic. This guy, he is thrilled about anybody coming to his church. And so here they are, they're coming in. You got to wait for a long time to finally get in. But once you pull into the parking lot, you see this guy here. He looks like he just jumped off a surfboard, and he's just excited. He's clapping. Come on in. I mean, he's into it, baby. Ain't none of this. There's passion behind what he's doing. I think he's going to get down. I mean, he's going at it. He sees a car, I guess, with friends that he knows. And he's so excited to see them. They're so excited to see him and he, them. And they roll down the windows and he goes and high fives all of them, runs around and he's high fiving them. And I'm behind this guy and I'm thinking, If the invitation is given in the parking lot, I'm joining. I don't know what they're offering here, but I want some of it. What would it look like to have that type of infectious, contagious energy and passion at the First Baptist Church of Lebanon, beginning in the parking lot? Now you're told, and listen, people tell me all the time, you can't do that with a First Baptist Church in a county seat town. They're too dignified for that. You can't do that. Aren't you tired of somebody trying to pigeonhole you into what you can and can't do? You're a child of God. You've got the Spirit of God living within you. You know what that means? You can change. I can change. And what greater motivation to change and to do it different for those who aren't here yet? What if we had valet parking? Think about that. What if we had valet parking for our seniors? For those who, a country mile truly would be a country mile. What if we took care of that? What if on rainy days, what if out of the church, what if we just bought a whole bunch of huge umbrellas and that nobody had to get out of their car without any protection? What if nobody had to go back to their car without a protection of an umbrella and an escort? Do you think that would get on their mental map? Do you think that would be a tangible way of showing them that they're special? Do you think in any way that might register? Those people really do care about me. I mean, that goes beyond expectations. If we only meet their expectations, we'll be forgotten just like every other environment. You go beyond those expectations, you wow them. I'm telling you, you might reflect something more than what you think. You are God's ambassadors. I am God's ambassador. What we do, we're reflecting Him. We say, you matter to God. Don't you think we need to do a better job with reflecting that? These are just some ideas. I mean, what if the church were to buy a couple of golf carts? Let's just get crazy. What if we were buying a couple of golf carts so that those who do have to park out there in a country mile, what if, you know, instead of walking, you know, we just have a little shuttle service going on? Hey, hop on, we'll take you there. You say, we don't need that. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about those who aren't here yet. See, because if you're a member, you've lost your rights. And it's time for you to pick up your ministry. You might need to drive that golf cart. For the sake of the stranger or the guest amongst us. And what if they get inside? And once they get inside, what if there's never going to be a door? What would it look like at the First Baptist Church for there never ever to be a door where there's not somebody there to open it and to greet you and to introduce themselves to you? Now, here's the problem. A lot of us have. A lot of us don't know one another. Because there's so many new people amongst us. You're like, I don't know who's a member, who's not. Hey, let's just have a family talk real quick. Listen, I told you I had a lot to say. Hold on, please, just give me like a little extra time here. Can we just have a little family talk? You know why people are so like, I don't know if I should say something or not? Because some of you have, and you've hurt somebody's feelings, and they've let you know it. And some member, crusty as they are, will turn around and say to you, I've been a member here longer than you've been born. Hey, at least they're trying. Can we all just be big boys and big girls around here? And if somebody doesn't happen to know you as well as you think you ought to be known, and when they do introduce themselves to you and they act as though you're a member, why don't you just be an encouragement to them and let them know really proud of what you're trying to do? Introduce yourself so that doesn't have to happen again. But quit wearing your feelings on your shoulders. Quit being so sensitive. And understand, this ain't about us. Life ain't about us. Church ain't about us. It really is about God and others. And in the context of this, those who aren't here yet. So if somebody absolutely reaches out and says, hey, are you visiting with us today? And you happen to be a charter member? You don't have to give them history. You can just say, you know what? My name is, and I belong here like you do. I really appreciate you trying to reach out to the guest amongst us. Can we just all agree to have that attitude? Can we all agree? Because see, if we all have that attitude, nobody's going to feel any apprehension about going out there and saying, hey, my name is. What if we had somebody at every door? And what about when they came in? Not only was there a handshake, but there was an escort. Do you know where you're going? Can I take you to where you need to go? Oh, thank you. Again, this is intimidating. This place is like huge. Again, the 34-year-old guy, he's never been to church. He brings his family to church for the first time. Man, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome. A tangible way of just showing love. Hey, let me show you where our nursery is. Let me help your kids. Follow me here. Let me take them to their Sunday school classes. As they go through the hall, we have the right smells. There's nothing stinking. I know you laugh at that, but you ever been to certain churches? They just have a church smell about them. I won't go any further. I'm getting myself in trouble. They just have smells. Maybe music playing in the hallways. So we don't need that. Again, I ain't talking about what you need. I'm talking about creating an environment that says, you are welcome. Listen, even beyond that, we've been expecting you. What would it look like for the First Baptist Church to tailor-make all of this? And again, instead of you getting to where your seats are, where you always sit, what is it about us? That there's a buzz in this place before the service. That's why, sometimes the sound guys, every Sunday, I usually make up the pre-worship, the pre-music that you're hearing before you have a seat. That's why it's, ding, 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 ding. I mean, that's why I get it uppity. That's why it's, I want this place to be alive. I do that for express purpose because what happens before the service is just as important as what's happening right now. It's all about creating an environment. It's all about communicating something. What if everybody, instead of finding your places, what if there was just a buzz about this place where people are going to different people and they're connecting, they're catching up for the week, they're introducing themselves. Somebody's here for the very first time, that 34-year-old man with his family, he's here for the first time and he's thinking, wow, these people really love each other. Hey, listen, they haven't heard any music from here, they haven't heard the sermon at all, but they're kind of digging what they're experiencing. They're like, wow, there's something different. We know how to be a part of a church like that. Here's something. I'll finish this. Here's something else. What if, like when we tell our guests, hey, we want you to fill out a yellow card. We'd like to have a record of your visit with us today. What if we had and as they put their card in the plate and you put your offering in the plate and then the ushers take it back there and they separate the money from those cards. What if we had a guest service team? And what if this guest service team had a group of people that made cookies and baked goods and we made care packages? And before they ever got home, there would be a group of people who would take those cards and they would go to those people's homes and they would put those bags on their doorstep. And so as they leave this environment and they're talking in the car like, wow, you know what? Those people really went out the way. I really felt I was considered. I didn't feel like I was lost in the crowd. They seemed to really be thinking about us. I don't believe everything they believe yet, but honey, I think we ought to go back. They drive into their driveway. They're going into their house. And lo and behold, they're like, well, who dropped that off? They open up from the First Baptist Church 11. You got to be kidding me. Look at here. They beat us home. You think it all that might like make a mental mark in their minds? That place is different. Those people are different. You say, we don't have to do that. No church is doing that. Hey, listen, here's what we got to understand. And for the longest time, I didn't. People aren't comparing us to other churches. And we're not in competition with other churches. They're on the same team. I tell you who people are comparing us to. People are comparing us to every other environment they've been in during the week. They're comparing us to how they were treated at the bank. They're comparing us to how they were treated at Hardee's. They're comparing us to how they were treated at Madison. They're comparing us to how they were treated at the post office. They're comparing this environment and what they experienced here with every other environment and the experience there, whether it be positive or negative. And if all we do is stay on the same pace as everybody else, forgettable. Got to go beyond expectations. The motivation? God says you got to treat the stranger amongst you as a native. You treat them as one of your own. You say they're not one of our own yet. And the key word is yet. You love them as you love yourself. You do them no wrong. So So much of what we've been talking about, the handout that you got, the new one that you get today that's been revised, so much of that, ladies and gentlemen, is about changing this environment. You see, if it was just home folks, we can get by with this sound system. You know, it's a, we can grin and bear it. You know, if it's just up to home folks. But the people who aren't here yet, it's something for them. It's something for them. And you say, they ought not to be so shallow. They ought to suck it up like the rest of us. Hey, look, can I just ask you? Do you really expect everybody to be where you are? I mean, we're reaching people who don't even know God, much less may know what it looks like to live selflessly. How about a screen that you don't see double vision on? You say, well, I can make it out. You know, I can, you know, if I turn my head this way, I can figure what's going on. Well, what if what looked like back there on this screen? What if we can have up here? I'm telling you, to make that change overnight, we can make the experience in this room with the new sound system and new projectors. We can increase what is done here overnight. We can make it 20-30% better. He said, well, we can suck it up. And you know what? You're right. We can suck it up. We ain't talking about we. We're talking about those who are not with us yet. If McDonald's is willing to do what they did for the sake of the bottom line, the almighty dollar, should we as a church, comprised of people who say we love Jesus and we love everybody else, should we be not willing to do the same for the sake of souls that will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. I pray that you would bless this invitation. Heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I know I ran long, guys, and I tease about it. You know what? That's something I need to do a whole lot better with. Because I know you're going to think this is funny you're even saying this, Matt. I really want it to be a tight hour. You say, well, I enjoy more than an hour. You know what? That's great. So do I. But your guest, they may think that just church is an hour. I need to be more respectful. I need to really work on this. And so there's change all of us need to do. This morning, I don't know, maybe God just like turned on a little light bulb and maybe He reminds you of something you've already known. Maybe He's taught you for the very first time. They're just saying, you know what, life ain't about you. Church ain't about you. And to the degree that you think life is, to the degree that you think church is, you're just going to go around with your feelings hurt all the time. Especially here at church. Because I'm telling you, as long as I'm your pastor, as long as I'm shepherding this flock, the focus really is going to be for those who aren't here yet. I'm not saying there's nothing here for those who are. My goodness, we're going to give you an opportunity to serve. We're going to give you an opportunity to take what's in your life important in somebody else's. We're going to give you an opportunity to connect with people relationally through small groups and to do life together and to grow and benefit personally and to help other people grow and benefit themselves. But if you're one of these church members and you're just like, I want a church that caters to me, I'm just telling you, we're not that church. We can't be that kind of church and love God and love others the way Jesus said. Every one of us are important. But for most of us, we're the 99, guys. We're going to die. We're going to go to heaven. Everything's okay between us and God because of Jesus and us and our relationship. All this is for the sake of the one lost sheep. We talk a good game. We quote the verse. But will we really allow that truth to guide us in what we do, what we don't do, what we say, what we don't say, how we prepare the environment, how we don't prepare the environment, how sensitive we are, how insensitive we are? Is that really going to be our guide? Whatever the Lord has spoken to you today, if there's something you need to repent of, man, you can do it in the pew, you can do it here at the altar. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to talk to you about what it means to have a relationship with Him. I really would. If you want to join this church, I know many of you have been praying and considering that. I pray that today would be the day. It'd be a great way to end this day, to introduce you to your new family and them to you. So Holy Spirit, please draw now. Do a work of grace. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to sing. You come. Let's go.
Come just as you are.